When U.S. Senator Strom Thurmond was 46 years old, it was 1948. Thurmond was a Democrat, and so was the man in the White House, Harry Truman. Thurmond ran against Truman as the candidate of the States' Rights Party and carried four southern states by campaigning in defense of racial segregation. His best showing was in Mississippi, where he took 87% of the popular vote. 16 years later, Thurmond became a Republican, and last week, at his 100th birthday party, Thurmond, who is now retiring, received this accolade from the Senate Republican leader, Mississippian Trent Lott.
I want to say this about my state. When Strom Thurmond ran for president, we voted for him. We're proud of it. And if the rest of the country had followed our lead, we wouldn't have had all these problems over all these years either.
Joining us now is historian Robert Dalek. And Robert Dalek, Trent Lott has been criticized for that tribute to Thurmond's 1948 presidential campaign. What was that 48 campaign like, actually?
Well, Robert, it was pretty extraordinary. You had a Democratic Party that split into three parts. Harry Truman, so to speak, in the middle. To the left of him was Henry Wallace of the Progressive Party.
Former Vice President.
Former Vice President, former Secretary of Commerce under Franklin Roosevelt. Then on the right, there were the Dixiecrats, or the States' Rights Party, made up of diehard segregationists. Truman, in 1947, endorsed a report from the Civil Rights Commission called To Secure These Rights, and it attacked lynching in the South. It attacked the poll tax, which denied African Americans the right to vote, and in general attacked segregation. And so the right-wing Democratic Party, these Deep Southerners, including Strom Thurmond and the governor of Mississippi and the governor of Alabama, said, let's break with this Democratic Party. It doesn't represent us fairly anymore, and we're going to set up our own party, the States' Rights Party. And they were standing for segregation.
Yeah, there was a line in the Dixiecrat platform of 1948, quoted in the Washington Post over the weekend. All the laws of Washington and all the bayonets of the army cannot force the Negro into our homes, our schools, our churches. Indeed, in terms of our schools, this was before school desegregation.
Yes. It wasn't until 54 that you get the Supreme Court decision on Brown v. Board of Education.
The armed services were still segregated.
Well, Harry Truman then desegregated them during the Korean War, but you're right.
States' rights was the constitutional cover for opposing desegregation in the South. Is it fair simply to say that the 1948 campaign was a racist campaign?
Oh, I think it's very fair to say that, because they, in a sense, saw the handwriting on the wall that the federal government was going to begin to move against this apartheid system, which embarrassed the United States before the world, because, after all, we were locked in a Cold War with the Soviet Union by this point, and the Soviets kept attacking us as a racist society, and, of course, in the South it was. So they saw what was coming, and they wanted to dig in their heels and fight this tooth and nail.
It's rare to hear in the modern South any politician, as Trent Lott did in that little birthday, congratulations, lamenting the defeat of the Dixiecrats in 1948.
Yes. After all, Trent Lott is a public figure. He's the majority leader of the United States Senate beginning in January, a Republican spokesman. And for him to have said that, I think, is, again, an embarrassment to this country and around the world, because it endorses the old policy of segregation. Didn't he understand that? You know, Trent Lott might have said at this birthday celebration, isn't it marvelous that Strom Thurmond, he grew older and he came to see the need for a change in outlook, and so he broke with his old segregationist past. But to celebrate him as a segregationist in 48, I'm frankly mystified by this statement.
Thurmond did, in fact, break with his
past
to some extent. I mean, he may have broken only after the cause was lost, but he did break with it.
As George Wallace did. They understood that the political reality had changed, and also they wanted black votes, which became very important, as we just saw in the election in Louisiana, which probably decided the election on behalf of Mary Landrieu and the Democrats.
Robert Dalek, thank you very much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Historian Robert Dalek of Boston University. Today, Senator Lott issued a statement about his remark last week. He says, this was a lighthearted celebration of the 100th birthday of legendary Senator Strom Thurmond. My comments were not an endorsement of his positions of over 50 years ago, but of the man and his life.
Last night, Trent Lott, the Mississippi Republican who's to lead the next Senate, apologized for a remark he made last week at Senator Strom Thurmond's 100th birthday party. But today, the apology seemed only to have fueled protests. Black leaders in Congress say Lott's praise for Thurmond's presidential run in 1948, when Thurmond was the candidate of a segregationist party, means that Lott should step down as Senate Republican leader. NPR's David Wellner reports from the Capitol.
Lott waited 4 days before apologizing late last night for saying that had the entire nation voted for Strom Thurmond half a century ago, when Thurmond was the Dixiecrats' pro-segregation presidential contender, quote, we wouldn't have had all these problems over all these years either. In a statement, Lott said, quote, a poor choice of words conveyed to some that I embraced the discarded policies of the past. Nothing, he added, could be further from the truth. The Mississippi Republican said he apologized to anyone offended by his remarks. This morning, the newly elected chairman of the Congressional Black Caucus, Maryland House Democrat Elijah Cummings, declared Lott's apology is not enough.
I have not seen the apology, but I can tell you I'm very concerned and very upset that anybody that would issue such a statement would be in the leadership of this nation or the Senate. And so we're still trying to resolve exactly what action we will take, but guarantee action will be taken.
And Texas House Democrat Sheila Jackson Lee, another CBC member, demanded something more from Lott.
Minimally a much larger apology, minimally a meeting with the Congressional Black Caucus, and minimally whatever else the caucus may decide with respect to his actions.
California House Democrat Diane Watson is one of those in the CBC pushing for Lott's resignation.
The Progressive Caucus is going to have a resolution. I would hope that the Black Caucus would join us asking for not only the censure of Senator Lott, but that he stepped down.
The furor over Lott's words has also sparked anger with the current Senate Majority Leader, Tom Daschle, who said yesterday he'd spoken with Lott and had accepted the Republican leader's explanation that his words had been misconstrued. Today, House Democrat Maxine Waters of California complained that Daschle, in her words, moved too quickly to explain Mr. Lott.
It is not enough to simply defend or to explain these kind of statements, and then at election time, talk about why Black Americans should turn out in large numbers.
Late this afternoon, Daschle issued a statement clarifying that while he'd accepted Lott's explanation, quote, his words were offensive to those who believe in freedom and equality in America. House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi today tried to steer criticism away from her party.
Don't just look to the Democrats. Where are the Republicans about their own leader? Where is the President of the United States about the person who's about to be the Republican leader?
White House spokesman Ari Fleischer today said that the President unquestionably has confidence in the Republican leader.
From the President's point of view, Senator Lott has addressed this issue. He has apologized for his statement, and the President understands that that is the final word from Senator Lott in terms of the fact that he said something and has apologized for it.
Lott's spokesman today said the Mississippi senator stands by his apology. But in a worrisome development for the Republicans today, Ken Connor, who heads the Conservative Family Research Council, said Republicans should ask themselves whether they really want their party to still be represented by Trent Lott. David Wellner, NPR News, the Capitol.